Hello, and welcome to the Equine Physio and Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Dr. Gillian Tabor. I'm a chartered physiotherapist, and I specialise in the treatment and rehabilitation of horses. So this is the next in my series of podcasts about kissing spines. And if you haven't listened to any of the others, then please do go back and cover those first, because I talk about the causes and prevention. In this one, I'd like to talk about treatment. Now, I need to start with a caveat that obviously I'm not a veterinary surgeon, so I have not got the authority to actually diagnose kissing spines, nor have I to decide which treatment option to go down, although I do have input in those discussions with both the clients and the vets that I work with. But ultimately, that decision is down to the client. So in terms of being able to choose which option you're going for, hopefully your veterinary surgeon will give you a wide range of advice, give you indications for the various interventions and perhaps sort of prognostic outcomes, i.e., you know, what they'd recommend and why. But I just thought it'd be quite useful to actually sort of complete the story about kissing spines before I would, as a physio, really sort of get involved in it, to talk about what happens after diagnosis. So in the UK, physios are not allowed to diagnose. That is the remit of the vet based on the Veterinary Act. And also, we don't have access to imaging or to diagnostic facilities such as sort of nerve blocks or, you know, that kind of sort of lameness workup to exclude any other reason as to why the horse has back pain. But if I have a case that I suspect that might benefit from being investigated, I will always urge a client to do that, because having information with regards to what's going on underneath the skin really does guide what I can do next. It's also a safety factor, because if the horse has got back pain and if I was to treat the back pain and then say, yes, it's fine to get back on again, but actually there's an underlying pathology, and then the horse quite rightly explains to the owner or the rider that they have pain in an unsafe manner, then that could potentially lead to injury of the rider, as well as sort of welfare concerns for the horse, of course. So if you have concerns that your horse might have kissing spine, then the priority really is to get a proper diagnosis from a veterinary surgeon. And as I said, as a physio or any other musculoskeletal practitioner or body worker, we're not able to do that without adequate imaging. But once you've had imaging, then you've got some decisions to make if your horse does present with changes to those spinous processes, whether they are just close, whether that gap is smaller, or whether there is changes to the bones in terms of signs that they have actually been touching, or they are overriding and overlapping, and that's the cause of the pain. It's quite interesting that horses, like people, display different levels of response to different orthopedic issues. So we know that if you x-ray, say, 100 people's knees, a very high percentage of them will have osteoarthritis and bony changes, and a lot of them will have no pain, or a lot of them will have major changes and mild pain, or even minor changes and quite severe pain. So pain is very complex, and it doesn't always relate to the presentations on x-rays. So that's why the literature actually recommends having further veterinary intervention, so perhaps having nerve blocks in the region, or something to actually prove that the changes that you see in the back are the cause of the symptoms, the clinical signs rather, that you are seeing in that horse. And certainly we need to exclude any other causes of back pain, such as it coming up from a lameness, at the same time as, you know, having the back investigated. So what are you going to do? Well, first option is obviously to do nothing. If you're going to carry on riding your horse, and I think that's potentially unethical, the horse is in pain and, you know, it's got every right to complain about it. And so, you know, if the horse is showing behavioural signs of discomfort or is unrideable and you carry on doing it and the horse get punished for it, then that is certainly unethical in my mind, and it raises severe welfare implications. And that's actually, you know, quite scary in terms of the number of horses that are labelled naughty. And it's not that they're being naughty, they are trying to tell us something. It's just that their behaviours are incongruent with what we'd like that horse to be able to do for us. And even worse, if you know that the horse has got kissing spines and you make the decision that it's not that bad and you carry on riding without any intervention, then I think that is very concerning. If you decide not to do anything and you choose not to ride your horse, well, that is perfectly fine. I actually believe, and unfortunately I don't have evidence for it, but a horse with kissing spines that isn't ridden or isn't forced to do any work that actually triggers off the pain at the time of the exercise is probably going to be okay, retired or turned away, you know, in a field and managed that way. We do obviously have to observe for pain behaviours, and we are quite good now at observing facial expressions as well as the more obvious whole body behaviours as a sign of pain. So if your horse is demonstrating that outside of when it's in training or riding, then retirement and just turning away might not be an option. But I think for the majority of cases, that's absolutely fine. And also, if a horse is able to walk around the field and move around the field, then for enrichment, it might be able to go out for walks, might be able to go to different locations to have exercise, and it might also be able to undergo some in-hand training that isn't specifically designed for rehab, but perhaps, you know, enrichment activities. And I'm thinking about sort of horse agility, or scent work, for instance. You know, there are other options to how to engage with activities with your horse, whether or not they are being ridden. So if you decide to do something, then broadly the options are divided into either a conservative medical approach or a surgical approach. And for a conservative medical approach, there's a few options that you have available to you. And these are veterinary options in terms of perhaps having the spine medicated. And there's a few different drugs that can be put in the spine. They're either put directly in between those spinous processes, or there is a treatment called mesotherapy, which is where you have medications that are injected into the main back muscles as well. So that's an option, and that's usually to give you a opportunity that the horse has a pain-free time, and then you can crack on with some sort of more formal rehabilitation. The other conservative management options that I've seen in the literature is the use of shockwave, and I know some vets do that, and that can give you a short-term window of pain relief, again to allow more of the sort of more formal rehab with that window opportunity in terms of not having pain. Because if the horse has back pain, they are not going to be able to achieve the kind of postures that we know are beneficial to horses that do have kissing spines. So, you know, if we want looking to actually, and I'm putting in air quotes here, activate the core, encourage engagement, that lift of the back, work through the thoracic sling. But if the horse has back pain, they're not going to be able to achieve that. So, you know, what can we do to try and reduce the pain? So other options for conservative management are oral medication, so non-steroidals, pain relief, and that I've worked quite successfully with some clients that have got mild signs and early, you know, stages of kissing spines, and that can be quite useful. And then, of course, we have the physiotherapy approaches specifically for pain relief. So whether that's manual therapy or electrotherapies, they can be effective in the short term for pain relief. But bearing in mind, physiotherapy is not going to change any of the underlying pathology. So it's not going to actually change any of the bony remodeling. It might have an effect on reducing inflammation, but yeah, we can't say that we can fix or cure kissing spines. But actually, that's a good point. I think that's something that we need to perhaps expand on in another episode of this podcast, talking about fixing it. But so That's medical management, I think, covered. And then the other options now is to talk about surgical management. So in the old days, and I have seen the surgery performed back in the 90s, I was lucky enough to see the renowned vet, John Walmsley, performing the first type of kissing spine surgery, which had the horse under general anaesthetic lying on their side, and he would do a total resection of alternate spinous processes so that there was absolutely no chance of impingement. It was major surgery. I can remember seeing the blood loss. I can remember seeing the tools that they used to actually transect these spinous processes. You know, it was a bit like carpentry, obviously done as tidily as it could, but it was quite invasive surgery. And at the time, I looked at it and I could see what effect it was having on those muscles either side of the spine, the apexia muscles and the ligamentous supporting systems around there. But that was the option of choice, and his outcomes were pretty good. If you look at his papers that are now a little while old, you know, he had good outcomes from it. And then following that, there was a sort of evolution towards what we call a subtotal ostectomy, which is the bone reshaping operation. So usually done now in standing, the idea now is not to take out the whole end of the spinous process, but to actually reshape it to take away the areas that are touching or overlapping to allow room between them. It's much less invasive surgery, but you are actually, you know, you are shaving the bone, and so the rehabilitation and the sort of post-op protocol from that is going to have to reflect the fact that you have affected bone as well as the soft tissue during the surgery. But if you have got really advanced kissing spines, you've got, you know, major changes and overlap, then that might be the reason that your surgeon is choosing that operation. And then more recently, we have got the good ligament snip, so the interspinous ligament desmopathy. And that is something that was relatively recently chosen to do. And the main paper comes out of the West Wales in the UK by Richard Coomer. And it was published in 2012, where it talks about the outcomes of this ligament snip compared with conservative treatment and showing that they are quite favourable. So this is a much less invasive surgery. The surgeon goes in laterally, so from the side of the spinous processes, and then finds the ligament between the spinous processes and then resects that, so cuts it. The idea being that then that allows some spacing between the spinous processes to allow a change in the position of the back, and therefore trying to reduce that impingement. As I said, if you've got a horse that's got advanced changes, you might find that there is, you know, relatively little space between those spinous processes. And even with resection of the ligament, those spinous processes aren't going to be moved apart. So the ligament snip, I believe on talking to vets, is indicated for the less severe cases. And sometimes I see combinations of the subtotal ostectomy and the ligament snips at different levels of a horse's back. Although at the moment I am working quite closely with a surgeon that performs quite a lot of ligament snips, and his opinion is that whilst it is actually allowing space between the spinous processes, it is actually creating a cut to the nerves that are between the spinous processes, and so it is a neurectomy, and that actually then that gives us a duration of reduction in pain to allow our rehab to start. And then he hands over to the physio and he says, right, I've done my bit and now it's your bit to do the rehab. So the rehab time is much shorter for the ligament snip. However, I don't believe it is as short as it actually says in some of the protocols that I see. I certainly don't think, you know, within 6 to 8 weeks you'll be back on board. But my idea of rehab is actually quite comprehensive and thorough. And I think to have a restoration of muscle to a sort of pre-kissing spine state, if there was one, or even to develop that strength through the muscles of the back and the muscles of the trunk. So, you know, that whole core stability idea, creating the dynamic control of the spinal movement, I think actually does take longer than those shortened time frames. But I will be going on to talk about rehab in a lot more depth in later episodes. But I hope that just gives you sort of an idea of the options for surgery. Your surgeon should be able to discuss them with you and provide a rationale for choosing one over the other. It might be that in the short term you try conservative management, or your finances might only allow for conservative management. And interestingly, in some countries there is relatively little kissing spine surgery, and a lot of it is to do with pain management and rehab. And I certainly think, you know, from a physio point of view, that if I translate some of the human rehab ideas, I can see that that actually seems very sensible. Although, you know, if you've got quite advanced changes and, you know, the more invasive surgery is indicated, then, you know, maybe that's going to be something that is offered to you. But again, just reiterating, as a physio, I am not allowed to diagnose, nor can I carry out any of those surgeries. So I work in combination with the veterinary surgeon to actually, you know, choose the, or actually support you in the best option for your horse. And each horse is an individual. And so it scares me sometimes when I see on the groups on Facebook, somebody puts a picture of their x-rays up and says, oh, what surgery would you recommend for this? Because that horse is an individual, and the amount of pain that it's feeling depends on its pain thresholds and its pain tolerances. And it also depends on the situation that you have in terms of rehab, and that, you know, how that horse is going to manage, perhaps with extended periods of box rests, or perhaps your discipline, what you want to do with the horse, and also how old it was and what state it was before you had the diagnosis of kissing spines. So, you know, the onset of symptoms is so individual, as is the treatment options. So there is no one cure all or one fix all. And, you know, I hope that any surgeon would also say the same. And no surgery is going to be 100% effective just by itself. That really is, you know, the surgery happens in the short term, and then it's what you do for the next period of weeks and months after that that matters. And of course, I'm going to say that because I am a physio, but that is what is critically important to me. So actually, these few episodes on kissing spines now lead me to the more exciting outcome of the physio is, so the more exciting content really for me, which is what rehab to do, why and when, which I will hopefully be covering in satisfactory depth in the next few episodes. But thank you very much for listening, and I hope you're enjoying these podcasts, and any feedback would be very welcome. And if you want to contact me, I'm on Facebook and on Instagram at Dr. Gillian Tabor Physio, and my website is www.gilliantabor.co.uk, and on the website you can see links to contact me. And I'm available for physio visits locally to me, but also I could help you with your rehab if you don't have access to a physio, or even supporting your local physio wherever you are in the world. Also, I have some online courses. I have a posture and strength course, and also a short course on pre-ride muscle activation exercises. So please take a look, and do drop me a message and any feedback. And I'm looking forward to my next few podcasts on the actual exciting physiotherapy part, which is the rehabilitation. Thank you.